Oh, yeah. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is good to be with you on this Tuesday. In fact, great to be back. I did take a few days. We had the long holiday weekend, and I had taken last Friday off to go to Wisconsin to help move our son into college. So now I'm back, and it feels great coming off the first weekend of college football, which is where I'm going to start momentarily. An amazing weekend of college football. NFL season kicking off this week, so this is as good a time as there is to talk sports. Let's get some. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Hit me up right now. This is the epitome of a front load. I've got all three interviews coming up in the first half of the program, but that does not mean that you can't get through and get on the air. Call right now, 1-800-636-8686. Again, toll free, 1-800-636-8686. You know the setup. You call up, you get through the EP Adam Hawk, you get on hold, you get on the air. As long as you don't do anything regrettable, Alvin will not hammer you. Maybe you get racked. Maybe you get a golden ticket. Maybe you make the show better. Hell, maybe you make the world better. Call me now, toll free. If you'd rather hit me up on Twitter, I'll take that. Follow me at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. I don't care what you talk about. Just make sure you come strong. All right. The interviews look like this. Coming up next segment, a senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, Therese Paylor, John Smoltz, ML Network analyst, and a Hall of Famer joins me at the top of hour number two. Right after that, the head football coach at Georgia State. They had themselves a day, didn't they? Sean Elliott. So those three interviews all in the first half of the program. Do not waste time. Hit me now. I want to thank my man, Grant Napier, for coming in on Friday. He killed it like he always does. All right, so week one of the college football season is finally over. Man, that was some kind of week, wasn't it? In fact, it was a great week because it ran nearly an entire week. From Thursday to Monday. Now it seems to be weird to be here on a Tuesday and not see a college football game tonight. I mean, I was starting to think that there was a game every single day of the season in college football. Because, man, there were so many moments over the weekend. Lots of moments. Great moments. Starting with a guy who got some serious jungle karma. Did we or did we not put him on the show last week? Did he or did he not go out and shock a former assistant? You know who I'm talking about. Mack Brown. Mack Brown did his former assistant, Will Muschamp, in his first game back in North Carolina. And then after it happened, he got real. Real emotional.
Allison just proud of the guys. These guys have had a tough time, and we worked really hard. We made so many mistakes. Oh, my God. And for them to win this game is such a great win for those kids, our coaching staff, and these fans, because they've waited for this a long time.
I feel you, Mac. I feel you. Congrats. Now you know why he came back. I mean, I'm sure that he would have said, and he said things like this when I spoke to him prior to that game, those are the types of things that he was coming back for. That's why you come out of retirement. That's why you leave that cushy TV job for moments like that. I'm just not so sure that even Mac knew he'd have moments like that his first game back. So already that's been great dividends. Or how about Jonathan Taylor in Wisconsin rolling over South Florida, 49-0 on the road. I saw that game. Surrounded by Badger fans in Madison. That was one hell of an experience. Get ready for a hell of a lot more of that because that's a special player. And he's as good in the locker room and off the field as he is on the field. And he's a leading Heisman candidate on the field. Now, I know that everybody's going to want to jump to conclusions after only 1 week. Just know that there's nothing more tired than doing that. There's nothing more overplayed than watching 60 minutes of football and then saying that Clemson is going to repeat or that Alabama is rejuvenated and reinvented itself and they're back or that Michigan is finally living up to all the hype because they beat Middle Tennessee. Don't do that. You can never read that much in one game. Then again, if you're the Pac-12, it's getting kind of hard not to, right? And being that I honk for things like that, it's hard for me to own that, but I will. I mean, forget reading too much into one game for one team. How about the entire conference? everybody knew the pressure that was on Oregon going into that game against Auburn. A lot more pressure on Oregon than Auburn going into that game, because they were not just playing for themselves. They were playing for the entire conference, and they showed up. They showed up well. They showed up well until the very end.
16 seconds in the fourth. Nix steps up. He throws to Williams. He's got it! Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Bo Nix to Seth Williams.
Wow!
With 9 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter.
Now it'd be a good time to say, War Eagles Radio Network. Because that's where the war started. And that was Brass by Bo Nix, a freshman, and an absolute dagger to the chest, not only for Oregon, but for the entire Pac-12. And again, it wasn't just Oregon. UCLA did not make things any better by starting off that weekend with a loss to Cincinnati. USC, although they got by Fresno State, lost quarterback JT Daniels in the process. An enormous blow. But even more than people jumping to conclusions about a team or a conference after one game is people jumping to conclusions about the entire sport after one game and wanting to give out the Heisman on Labor Day weekend. But that said, did you see Jalen Hurts? This guy transfers to Oklahoma in the spring. He wins the job. He comes out in his first game, and he has a career-high 508 offensive yards and 6 touchdowns against Houston. 6 touches. This guy arrived on campus 10 minutes ago? Gets out of the car and immediately starts slinging it all over the joint.
Snap to Jalen Hurts. Wants to throw, does across the middle. Rambo first down into Houston territory. Splits defenders, 30. It's a race, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Charleston Rambo draws first blood second half.
Listen, I understand that Houston's defense does need some work, but that did not look like a guy playing his first game for a new team with new teammates and a new head coach. Actually, the question should not be, did you see Jalen Hurts? But rather, did you forget about Jalen Hurts? Because it feels like a hell of a lot of people did, right? Lest we forget, the guy was 26-2 as a starter at Alabama. He was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year as a freshman. He did lead them to back-to-back national title games. I'm not saying you give Hurts the Heisman. I'm not saying that. I'm saying give it to his coach, Lincoln Riley. And then Riley can give it to whoever the hell he wants. Remember when Baker Mayfield won it in Riley's first season? Everybody said, that's pretty cool. Yeah, let's see if the guy can do it again. Riley, I mean. Or is he just a one-hit wonder? And then Kyler Murray wins it last year. And then the same people say, yeah, that's pretty cool. Maybe lightning does strike twice. Or maybe Riley is just really fortunate to be in the right place at the right time. Twice. You know, some dudes are just lucky like that. Hey, look, me, I'm not saying that at all. I've never said that about this guy. I'm not saying that, but a lot of you were. So what happened? Hurts comes in, absolutely lights the joint on fire. Proving one thing, there's nothing lucky about this. Other than being the guy lucky enough to play quarterback for Riley. Because right now, if you're the starting quarterback in Norman under Riley, you're going to win the Heisman Trophy. But even above and beyond that, there are two moments that really stuck out from that first weekend. One that I'm going to get into right now, and one that deserves its own take. The team of the week for week one. And by the way, can I just interrupt this thought for a minute? How good is it to have college football back? It's so good. So good. Even if you had Notre Dame last night minus 19 and they won by 18. I digress. I didn't say I did. I said even if you did. Oh! No, the team of the week. The team of the week for week one, Georgia State. Could not wait to talk about these guys. A program that started in 2010. A program that went 2-10 last year. They were paid 950 GER to show up in Knoxville and get their asses kicked by Tennessee. Except nobody told the Panthers that because they went into Neyland Stadium and they stunned the Vols 38-30. Tennessee was a nearly 4-touchdown favorite, paying out nearly a mil to bank that win. And they got worked. I'm not saying that this is on par with, say, App State beating Michigan, because nothing is. But this is clearly in the running for most embarrassing moment in Vols history. And there have been some pretty embarrassing moments in Tennessee football over the past two decades. I don't know, the Lane Kiffin era, the Derek Dooley era, the Brady Hoke era. But as bad as the shower discipline was under Dooley, and as stupid as the turnover trash can was under Butch Jones, Saturday was so much worse. And don't get this part twisted, right? There was nothing weird or fluky or wacky about that. Georgia State did not get lucky. They got nice. They got over. They were the better team. They punched Tennessee in the face repeatedly. They took the $950,000 and they went home with a W as well. Head coach Sean Elliott and his team absolutely humiliated the Vols in their own house. And nothing summed it up better than two volunteer defensive players taking each other out while Panthers quarterback Dan Ellington ran for a fourth quarter TD.
Carter goes in motion off the center. He'll hand off to Barnett. No, Ellington keeps it, puts his foot to the ground, gets ahead for the first down, slips away, touchdown. Beautiful run for the quarterback, Dan Ellington.
Man, that is so good. So funny if you saw that, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network. But not good for Tennessee. In fact, bad. How bad? Here's some adjectives from Tennessee players after the game. Quote, flabbergasted. Quote, disgusted. Hate to say it, fellas, but there's no reason to be flabbergasted. That was a beating. A beating that you had coming to you. Georgia State manhandled Tennessee. And if the Vols couldn't see that coming, that's on them and nobody else. And they obviously didn't see it coming because they took the field unprepared. And nobody enjoyed that more than Sean Elliott's old boss, the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier. He told Andy Staples, quote, they just thoroughly beat Tennessee. It wasn't any fluke. There weren't any fluky plays. They were 26-point underdogs. Isn't that right? Rocky top might be rocky bottom for a week or two until they win one, I guess, end quote. Isn't that great after all this time? Somebody still has to pull the old ball coach off Tennessee. I love it. How's that taste, Tennessee? Georgia State dominates you, and the head ball coach clowns you on the way out. And you see something like that, and you can't help but wondering what in the world is going through the mind of an all-time Vol great. An all-time Vol great. Who do you think of? No, not Peyton Manning. Not Phil Fulmer. Not Jason Witten, not Jamal Lewis, not Reggie White, not Carl Pickens. Nope. No, I really don't care what any of those guys think. The guy that I care about right now, the guy that I'm thinking about right now is the man, the legend, Corey Zickafoose, the ultimate Vol. That guy's given more to that program than anybody. God bless the Zick. We were able to run him down to get his thoughts. And in an exclusive Jungle interview, he shared with me what was going through his mind as he saw that entire thing play out.
Yeah.
Why?
It's Tennessee. It's the way it is sometimes.
There you have it. An exclusive Jungle interview. It's Tennessee, and that's the way it is sometimes. Well, you're right and you're wrong about that, Core. It is Tennessee. You're right about that. That is the way it is. You're right about that. But not sometimes, all the time. Know that. And tip your hat to Georgia State because they just knocked you the hell out. An honorable mention going to the old ball coach who had next to nothing to do with it but seemed to enjoy it as much as anybody anywhere, including Georgia State. 1-800-636-8686. It is so good to have college football back, and that does not cover everything I have to say about it. Just the open. When we come back, we'll switch up, talk some NFL. Therese Paylor joins us. Let's face it, we all would like a little added value when we shop, right? Now, if you like to shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're in luck. Stock up on everything you need for your car or your motorcycle, from brakes and batteries to engines, cleaners, and tires, and earn points that get you money back. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. Spend a little, make a little. It's really that simple. Just stop in at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store and sign up and be an O Rewards member today. You earn 1 point for every buck you spend at O'Reilly. You can even get your rewards twice as fast and on the go when you provide your email address. O'Reilly O Rewards. Become a member and get $5 back for every $150 you spend. It's fast, it's easy, and it's free. Only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I mean, how cool is that? Manage, earn, and redeem O Rewards. See your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or visit orewards.com for details and sign up online today if you haven't already. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Good to be back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, spent the entire Open laying out the college football weekend. Let's now turn to the NFL. We are joined by a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He's a Hall of Fame voter. He is a co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. He is Therese Paylor. Therese, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. Thanks for the vine, man. I grew up listening to you as a teenager in Detroit. You're actually one of the reasons I decided to get into sports media, man. So it's an honor to be in the jungle. And I'm pumped to be here.
Therese, my man, that's really nice of you to say. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate hearing that, and I appreciate you. All right, so the Houston Texans had themselves a busy weekend. Let's go back. Yeah. What was your reaction when you heard about the Texans sending Jadeveon Clowney to Seattle for Barkevious Mingo, Jacob Martin, and a third-round pick?
Well, the initial reaction is John Snyder still has his fastball. Of course, that's the general manager of the Seattle Seahawks. I love the deal for Seattle. I know they're not going to – they promised not to franchise Clowney. I get it. But he's playing for money. And I've got a saying, the contract year in the NFL is undefeated. Clowney is a good football player. He's a great run defender. And he's above-average pass rusher. And I'm convinced we haven't seen his best pass rush season yet. But I bet you see it this year because he's playing for money. So I like the deal for Seattle. I thought they gave up two used parts and a third-round pick for a player who's really going to help that defense this year. You know, they're trying to make the Super Bowl. You know, for Houston, it goes back to one big problem I have with those guys, and it's that they didn't trade this franchise player that they liked but didn't love before the draft. And you have to do that so that you make sure there's a market, number one, and B, if there are other teams who are interested in that player, you give them muffs to hammer out an extension with that player, right? But if you trade a franchise player after the July 15th deadline to do that, your return is going to be limited in what you can get. So there are some reasons they did it, and I can get into that if you want. But on the surface, that was the big problem I had with it. They didn't get rid of this guy they liked but didn't love in March or April like the Chiefs and Seahawks did with Frank Clark and Dee Ford.
In fact, I was going to ask you about that. Therese Paylor is my guest because they did not do exactly what you just said. They backed themselves into a corner. So when you compare how Seattle handled things with Frank Clark and how Houston handled things with Clowney, how much worse does it make Houston look?
It's bad. I mean, look, the Chiefs did the same thing with Dee Ford, you know? They got these guys out of here, and they got more than the third-round pick that Houston got for Clowney. So on the surface, you know, just dollar for dollar in a vacuum, that's a problem. Now, I get why they did the trade because it's a weird deal. Like, the Clowney trade in a vacuum wasn't good for them, but if you take everything they did, it's kind of like they made a three-way trade, right? Like, it's kind of like they got better. Stills is going to help them on the outside. Laramie Tunsil is one of the best young tackles in football, and they've got him under club control for two more years. That's a good thing. You know, like, that helps him. That helps them this year. But the problem is they didn't maximize every piece of it, and that's why they've been getting killed.
All right, so they have Tunsil under contract, but at the same time, they gave up a lot to get him. Now, again, we understand why they did this, right? They've got to get some protection for Deshaun Watson, but because they did not get him to commit to a long-term contract, how much leverage does he have right now?
Well, he has some leverage, but he's under contract for 2 years, and then they can also franchise him after that. So, you know, he's going to be wanting to get paid, too. And given what they've given up for this guy, like, they're going to be looking to pay him. He'll be the league's highest paid tackle. You know, I'm sure that that's something that's going to end up coming down the road, right? So, like, look, you'd rather, like, have it done, you know, as soon as possible. But, you know, I do think that if Houston makes that trade like they did, they're going to do it because they know they're going to be able to re-sign that guy when the time comes. So I'm actually going to give them the benefit of the doubt on that. You know, you can't give up all that capital, which I also think is a good trade for Miami, but you can't give up all that capital without getting that deal done. He will get signed at some point. And I do think, you know, this is going to be a trade that's going to help them for years down the line.
Therese Paylor joining us. All right, then, let me ask you this. LeSean McCoy signed with Kansas City over the weekend. Given the relationship between McCoy and Andy Reid, how do you like that fit for him and for the Kansas City offense?
I really like it. Watching some tape of McCoy last season. Look, he's not what he used to be, but how many of us are, you know, when we're 31 compared to when we were 25? You know, he still has the ability to kind of make people miss in a phone booth and in space. And I think his ability to catch the ball is really going to be helpful in Andy Reid's offense. I think the Chiefs are going to throw it around a lot. You know, I still think Damian Williams is the guy, but I think he's going to end up sharing it to a pretty decent degree with Shady McCoy. And the guy who really takes a back seat is Darwin Thompson. Now, he'll mix in a little bit, but, you know, my guess is it's a 60-40 split between Williams and McCoy, Williams getting the 60%. And McCoy is really going to help this team, though. You can't have enough depth at running back, and we know the Chiefs have a very dangerous offense. They're going to throw it a lot, including pass it to their backs, and Shady can still do all that. Even if he's not the all-pro player he used to be, he can still do all that and be a very good piece of what should be another killer offense by Andy Reid.
Therese Paylor making a jungle debut today. He joins us for a few more moments. Now, the Chargers reportedly were also interested in McCoy. You reported recently that Melvin Gordon's been given permission to seek a trade partner. How would you describe then the situation now between Gordon and the Chargers?
It's tepid. You know, whenever a team gives a player the ability to go seek out a trade, you know, it kind of says, hey, you know, go do what you want to do. Go do what you can do. We're betting that you can't. But all the player can do, if no one's really biting, is saying, okay, then I'm not coming. And that looks like where we're at right now. I got to be honest, Jim, I don't love it for the Chargers. You know, that was a team that went 12-4 last year. You know, we've had a lot of discussion about Melvin Gordon's contract. He makes them a better offense. I think we've kind of forgotten that. The other backs on the roster are capable, but, you know, Melvin is a special player. He's a good player. But from a business perspective, I get what they're doing. He's had injury issues. You know, like, I get it. I get it. But I'm just talking about on the field in 2019.
Therese. Gonzo. We had him, and then we did not. All right, I want to see if we can reestablish connection with him and try and finish that thought. Because you've got a team that has given the player permission to look for a trade. So I'm curious where that leaves the player, where that leaves the team, and where that plays out. And I want to reconnect with him and finish that. Maybe get a thought in on the Buffalo Bills also. All right, so he's back right now. So, Therese, I got you back. Thanks. So finish your thought about Gordon. Therese. Let's see. Therese. Anyway. Anyway. Hey, what's popping, Twitter? I think what we will do is call that an interview, unless you can reestablish that really quickly. Meantime, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. He was killing it in his jungle debut. Top of hour number two, we're going to have a conversation with John Smoltz. Right after that, the head football coach at Georgia State, Sean Elliott. Other college football topics I want to get to, Hugh Freeze. Not only coaching from his hospital bed, but coaching from a hospital bed at the stadium. Maybe the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Therese Paylor joins me once again. I want to finish what I started with him. Therese, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good,
man.
Good. All right, so finish your thought on Gordon and the Chargers. In fact, let me ask you this. If you had to predict, what is the most likely outcome? Does he play in week one? Does he continue to hold out, or is he traded?
My hunch is that he misses week one. And this could stretch for a little bit unless something develops on the trade front that we aren't privy to yet.
We'll see about that. One more thought before you go. You spent some time with the Vikings earlier in camp. Mm-hmm. What was your sense as the vibe around that team and around Kirk Cousins in particular?
Yeah. Jim, 100%. They're putting their eggs in the Kirk Cousins is going to be better because of Gary Kubiak and play action basket. And it's not just Gary Kubiak. Kevin Stefanski is going to be a head coach in this league sooner rather than later. He just has the look of one. And I think him and Kubiak get along, and they both understand the importance of leaning on the run game and the play action. And a big part of that's going to be the first-round center, Garrett Bradbury. They talk about him in ways that remind me of the ways the Colts talked about Quentin Nelson last year, which is high praise, but it's true. They think the offensive line is going to be a lot better. They think they're going to run the heck out of the ball. They think Cook is going to have a huge season, and that's going to help Cousins because they're going to play action teams to death, and they're going to get. They think they can get more value on Cousins by playing to his strengths. So we're going to have to see if it works. But I do think that's a team that will certainly finish above 500 and be right in the mix to win the NFC North.
All right, so one quick follow-up. I hear what you're saying about that. But, you know, there's this rap about Cousins that's getting louder and louder, that he puts up good numbers, but he can't win big games and he can't beat good teams. When you talk to him about what people say he can't do, what was his response?
It was actually pretty classic. He said, you know, if people say I'm not Aaron Rodgers and they say I'm not Patrick Mahomes, you're right. I'm not those guys. I haven't done what those guys have done on tape. But he does get upset when people say what he can't do, and it's not true. And he doesn't think that he thinks that just because he isn't Rodgers or Mahomes, yeah, he thinks that just because he's not those guys, that doesn't mean that he won't be able to lead the Vikings to the Super Bowl. So at the end of the day, we'll have to see.
He is a senior NFL writer for Yahoo. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Terrez Paylor making a jungle debut. Terrez, great to have you on the show. Appreciate you, and I know that won't be the last time.
Thanks for the vine, Jim. Appreciate it, man.
You got it, man. Be good. Good talking to you. Terrez Paylor, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. All right, so we'll come right back. I've got an open segment. Now is the time to call 1-800-636-8686. First week of college action in the bank. NFL action, getting underway in a couple of days. Top of the hour, we'll talk some baseball. Hall of Famer John Smoltz, an MLB Network analyst, and Sean Elliott, head football coach at Georgia State, that pulled off an all-time upset. All right, all of that coming up, and your telephone calls. But first, here is a sports update for you.
California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Like I said, an amazing time of year. Sunday, the NFL on CBS schedule kicks off with two of the most dynamic QBs in the game, Baker Mayfield and Pat Mahomes, making their highly anticipated 2019 debuts. Check local listings for the game in your area, and it all begins with the NFL Today on CBS. Man, that is so awesome. The NFL on CBS is back with the NFL, and I will have my part on that program once again. Can't wait to get back to New York. I will be doing that again this season, so be sure you look for that. 1-800-636-8686. Some reaction to the Clowney trade. This says, Rome, love getting rid of Clowney. Bill O'Brien is really establishing the Patriot way. He needs his type of guy in there. I mean, we got to keep winning those AFC South titles. Signed, Rich. North of Houston. We're getting embarrassed in the first round of the playoffs again. I'll get into it later on. It needs its own take, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that whole GM by committee thing was not the best idea after all. Maybe you do need a GM in the NFL after all. Let's go to Twitter. At Auburn Tigers, ZRJ tweets, Oregon, 176 yards in the first quarter. Oregon, 166 yards the rest of the game while being outscored 24-7. Just took till the end for the score to catch up. Yeah, I mean, we all knew what they had riding on that game. Not only Oregon, but the Pac-12. That was a huge game. We talked about how big that game was. And to let that thing get away the way it did, and again, that's not the only problem with that conference, but everybody was looking at Oregon. And that was bigger for Oregon than it was for Auburn. And Mike D for three tweets. Everybody forgot about Hurts, which is ironic since everybody hurts. Thanks. R.E.M.
Everybody hurts. Some. sometimes.
Yeah, Mike, but nobody more than me. Then I come back after a few days off to that. This email reads, "Hey, Van Smack, apparently you can go home again. Thanks to your jungle karma, the Tar Heels got the victory in Mac Brown's first game back. It's especially sweet beating fake Carolina. War Wisconsin getting a blowout win on the day you arrive. Jeremiah in Greenville." That was fun. The only thing that would have made that even better was had they played at home. They did not play at home, and it didn't matter. And let me tell you about Wisconsin. I went there. We went to a game last year. We went to the Rutgers game, and I was at that game. But since I was in Madison for the entire weekend, moving around, bumping around, it's like a lot of other great college football towns. You go there, and you talk to people, and like everybody knows the depth chart. Everybody knows everything about every kid, their backstory, where they're from, what the expectations are. It's cool. It's neat. It really is neat. And that was the feeling I had watching that game with Badger fans. So we had a really nice weekend in Madison. Rome, War of the Vols, losing to Georgia State so we can finally get back to Tennessee's favorite pastime. Sister wrestling. Matt in Tucson. Oh, good one, Matt. Incest smack. Well, that's pretty funny. Wait, what? What was that, Alvin? That's what I thought that was. You're not helping him. You're hurting him, Alvin. And you shouldn't be playing your banjo on the radio, man. 1-800-636-8686. I hammer that phone number for a number of reasons. One, I'm trying to encourage a good phone call. Two, the worse the emails and social reaction gets, the more I'm looking for a good phone call. Like this email. "Dear Romy, in front of the urinals, the roommate with crabs scratching loudly all night, and the dudes hunting him down so they could dump cold water on him in the shower. Casey, New Hampshire." Yeah, it was an interesting weekend, to be sure. You know, you drop your first kid off in college. And what was interesting about it? Like, what wasn't interesting about it? But man, you forget about dorm life. I have not experienced dorm life in a long time. I have not experienced, quote, Francisco Torres, too north, in a long time. If you went to UC Santa Barbara and you know Isla Vista, you know the famous FT. FT, really quickly, I don't know about where you went to school, and if I were really lazy and had nothing to talk about, I would say, "Hey, phone line's open. Give me your dorm horror stories." I don't want your dorm horror stories. I'm just going to tell you what my dorm life was like. What we had was a renovated Holiday Inn. It was literally a renovated Holiday Inn, and there were two matching towers, a north tower and a south tower. And when I lived in a dorm, the dorm room, it was a dorm room separated right down the middle by desks, right? I had my desk, he had his desk, and it was a suite. So there was a bathroom in between the two rooms. That was our setup. I went into the dorm at Wisconsin. The Rome family did to set Jake Rome up. Damn, man, there ain't a lot of real estate, is there? Not a lot of real estate. Not a lot of real estate for a student and a roommate, and especially after they bring in their futon. Because, well, how are you going to use your PS4 without a futon? How are you going to get down without a futon? Although they hadn't all full checked in yet. I certainly don't think that his roommate has crabs, but I didn't ask. And who knows how that first weekend went. "Dear Jim, I seem to be having trouble locating the following: Gelson's, In-N-Out, Javier's, and SoulCycle. Please point me in the right direction. Signed, Rake Jome." June West, L.A. You know, Madison didn't have any of that. Didn't matter, man. Madison is an amazing town. Great college town. You know, I've told the story. Don't, if you went to NYC, or NYU, I should say, don't take this the wrong way. I love New York City. I love Manhattan. I love going there 7-8 times a year for the NFL on CBS and what other business I have there. Love it. Love it. Love it. Jake gets it in his head. I'm going to go to NYU. Oh, I'm definitely going to NYU. Got it in his head before he'd even been to New York. In fact, the kid's never been to New York, but decided he was going to NYU. I said, hey, Junior, I'm not going to tell you where you have to go to college. I'm certainly not going to do that. I'm not going to be that parent. But I can tell you where you're not going to go. You're not going to NYU. And here's why. You've got your entire life to live and work in the city. It's always going to be there. These are going to be four of the most amazing years of your life. Man, be smart. I'm paying for it. Like, how lucky are you? I'm paying for this. Go to a college town. Have a college experience. Even better, if you can go to a major athletic conference, experience major football, major basketball. But go to a college town. Man, live that all up. You do not need to go to a city. So he went to Madison, Wisconsin, where I directed him. Don't want to take credit for that. Fell in love with the town. So, hey, Drew, no, we did not see Gelson's. We did not see In-N-Out. We did not see Javier's. We did not see SoulCycle, but I saw everything else, including, if you go to my Instagram account, a mobile bar. Did you see that picture? I've never seen one of those before. This guy did. Hey, Rome, saw the mobile bar in Madison. My only surprise, there was actually one girl on it, signed Jay in Denver. Wore any other college having a better ratio than six guys to one girl on Wisconsin. Yeah, it's great, Jay. I didn't really check the ratio. I wasn't looking for the ratio. I was more taken by the fact that there were people around a table pedaling furiously in traffic on a mobile bar. But then again, I do remember way back in the day, our tour stop in Madison. And that was as aggressive a tour stop as we have ever had in terms of who came out and how hard they hit it and how hard they went. 1-800-636-8686. So coming off that weekend, holiday weekend, first weekend of college football, you've got the NFL coming up. What stands out to you the most? I'm going to talk some baseball with John Smoltz momentarily. A-Rod went A-Rod again. Like, this guy just could not leave well enough alone. He had already pulled off, like, the greatest comeback ever. Alex Rodriguez was, like, the biggest pariah ever. Like, everybody hated this guy. And somehow, he was able to reinvent himself. Guy ends up on TV, shows up on Fox, starts talking baseball. And the guy, like, one of the most vilified guys ever, one of the most hated guys ever, all of a sudden, somehow, some way, has transformed himself and is actually likable. Likable. But he couldn't leave well enough alone. And now he keeps talking and keeps saying really dumb things. And now, I don't want to say we're back to where we started, when he was on TV in that sweater and fake bacon lying out his ass. But he's saying really weird things. Really weird things. Speaking of weird, was there nobody anywhere? You know, I always say that whatever business you're in, small company, big company, mid-level manager, CEO, if you're in any kind of position of leadership, what you want most of all is somebody around you who will not tell you what you want to hear, but rather what you need to hear. Like, you do not want to surround yourself with sycophants. It's so important to have that one person, at least one person that you trust that will tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear, right? Like, take, I don't know, Hugh Freeze. There was nobody around that guy that said to him, hey, coach, you coaching from a hospital bed is a really dumb idea. But you coaching from that hospital bed at the stadium is the dumbest idea ever. There was nobody that said that to him. Or if there were, he didn't listen. How did everybody at the entire university not say to him, dude, bad, bad idea. And then it happened. Man, thank goodness nobody did tell him that. Can't wait to get to that topic. But it's going to have to wait. We've got John Smoltz and then Sean Elliott right after that. Hour number two, straight ahead.